Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking about when I first came up here, I could start really sensing the presence, you know, and it reminded me back in my party years. I remember back in the party years when I used to do various kinds of drugs and stuff, I would know they would start working because my face would start feeling different. I'd start feeling it in my face, amen. Well, I just love it because, you know, I don't love drugs, I love God, because, you know, the devil is just a counterfeit, always a counterfeit, and everything he has is a counterfeit for the things of God. But, you know, there's a lot of times when, in the same place, when I'm starting to feel the presence of God, hallelujah, I start feeling it in my face first, hallelujah. Start getting that permigrain, you know. You ever seen somebody who's stoned or something like that, and a lot of times they have the kind of squinty eye permigrain. And sometimes, you know, that happens here too. Well, it's not because the devil did it first. It's because the devil's a liar and he's trying to copy God. God did it first. And I'll just tell you, it's a good place to be. Amen. I love the presence of the Lord. I love the feeling of it. I love how he shows up. But you know something, that the God does something more. You know, I for a while, when I first came into the church and I started experiencing God, and I was like, man, this really is a good substitute for drugs and things like that, you know, because the feeling, it felt good, amen, it felt good, and I liked that feeling, and I liked how God felt, praise the Lord. I loved that he was real. But you know, something I learned after being into it a little while is that we don't just seek the feeling. And although early on when I was a babe in Christ, I just sought the feeling. I just wanted the feeling. Now I just want to know more. I want know more about God. Because I find that as I know more about God, I live in the feeling. You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden I think like true joy and peace become active in my life. And these are true fruits of the Spirit. These are things that we can't know until we're there. But you know, I just sit around sometimes and I think about, praise the Lord, how happy I am in my life. Just how happy I am just sitting around doing what I do. Amen. Just loving the Lord. And you see, it becomes more than just a quick fix. And see, that's what drugs really is and stuff like that, is it's a quick fix. It gets you that high right now. But see, you can live high in the Lord. Amen. And I don't want to cheapen it by comparing it to drugs, but that's what we have to understand, you know, that in the world, that the world will tell you need this, you need that. You know, it's the same thing with any kind of sin that you can get in. You know, the Bible says that sin sin is enjoyable for a time. You know, people don't sin because it doesn't feel good. They sin because they like the way that it feels. You know, but the thing is it's always a quick thing and then it's over. Regardless of what it is. I don't care what it is. It's a quick feeling of enjoyment and then it's over. But you know, when you learn to live in the Word and when you learn to live in the Spirit, what you start realizing is that God is a continuous. God isn't a high up, high down kind of, or low down kind of God. He's a even keel God. God wants us on an even keel. And that even keel is a good even keel. It feels good all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now he's given us things to experience and enjoy and to get that rush. Praise the Lord. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. But this is just how God is. Amen. It's a good place to be. You know, if I had known 10 years ago how good it was going to be, I would have tried to get here sooner. Amen. I would have pressed in a little bit harder. Praise the Lord. Well, how many know that God isn't through with us yet? He's got some good things for us. And today we have a message to finish. Amen. I didn't get all the way through it last week. And I, instead of preaching for another hour, I just decided, well, we'll just save some of it to this week. Praise the Lord. How many know that that's not a bad thing? Praise God. But it's kind of a different thing for me, because I'm not the type of person, the way that my ministering works is I preach off of the scriptures, but it's always inspirational. In fact, you know, I very rarely have notes unless it's something that the Lord specifically spoken to me about, but I preach off the scriptures. And so sometimes to jump back into that, that's an interesting kind of concept. And that's what I'm going to attempt to do here tonight. But we're just going to believe the Spirit, because the same Spirit last week is here tonight. Amen. And he wants to help us get into everything that we got to finish here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I'm glad you're here tonight. You glad to be in church? Yeah. Praise the Lord. We're going to start Romans 8. 8:13. Praise the Lord. That's Hosea, not Romans. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wasn't Hosea 8? I think it was anyways, but flipping through. Romans 8, praise God. We went here last week, and we're just going to do maybe a little bit of review. We're going to talk about some of the things that we talked about last week, maybe. But we're going to press into what God has for us this week. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And we read all of Romans 8, or from verse 1 all the way through 14. But we're going to focus on 13 and 14 to start with here tonight. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Praise the Lord. Now I want to remind you that because I didn't remind you of this, but last week's message was called Spirit Living is Real Living. Yeah. So this week's message is called Spirit Living is Real Living, Part 2. Hallelujah. Or as they say in France, Part 2. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Praise the Lord. You know, when people come out of the world, it's always an interesting thing. I remember what it felt like. But as you come out of the world, you know, and you start coming into church, you start learning about God. And I'm not just talking about this strange God, this Santa Claus type God that doesn't really exist, but the actual living true God, praise the Lord. When you come out of the world and you discover that, you know, it is kind of a shock to the system. Amen. Sometimes there's things, you know, we come out of the world and we realize that everything that we knew may not necessarily be the way that it is. Right. You know, but it's always been interesting to me, and I went through the same thing too, and I've gone through it since then as well. But as we come out of the world, a lot of times when we see the things of God in front of us, we kind of reach backwards towards the things of the world. It's like we don't quite want to let it go. Yeah. You know what I mean? We kind of hold on to what we knew because it's comfortable for us. Not because it was good. And the real reason is not because it was good, but we hold on to it because it's comfortable. Yeah. You see, just because something's comfortable doesn't mean it's good in the flesh. There's a lot of people that stay in a relationship that's really bad because it's comfortable. Yeah. Why? Because they're scared of the unknown. At least they know, praise the Lord, that they're going to get beat every other day. I mean, seriously, that's the way that it is. See, people, it's a wrong kind of thinking. It's not the way God wants it. Maybe they just know that, you know, they'll have a few good days, and then they'll have just hell on earth for a few weeks. But at least they know that there's that cycle. They can kind of, they're afraid of that. And this is what keeps people from getting out of bad relationships or a bad lifestyle. It's not because they're dumb. It's because they're people with real people with real feelings. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You know, and I remember myself being caught up in this when, from the time I was a teenager on, I would get into relationship after relationship, and it went from bad to worse. Praise the Lord. See, God had something much better for me. And if I had been patient, if I had known the word, if I had known the things that I know now, of course, I would have waited, or I like to think that I would have waited. But you know, people always reach back to those things.
Yeah.
And one of my jobs, part of my job, is to break people of reaching back. You know, and part of my job is to slap your hand as you're reaching back. Praise the Lord. I don't want you reaching back because whatever was back there, you know, there's nothing good in that for you anymore. There's nothing that you can have in that lifestyle that's going to do any more for you than it ever did. There's a reason you came to church. Amen. The reason you came to church is because something wasn't right in your life. Amen. But you know, we don't want to stay. Oh, praise the Lord. I don't know. Maybe I'll preach the message. Maybe I won't. But we'll use the scriptures and we'll maybe preach something different. I don't know. But I'm going to follow the Spirit, amen? But God's got good things for us, amen? He's got a lot of things for us to get into, and we have to know that. But we will not find them by living according to the flesh. Now, this is a concept to a lot of people that they just have a hard time getting. And I understand, because at first when you start hearing about the Spirit and the flesh and all this stuff, it's like, well, how do I know the difference? You know, and the Bible tells us that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Was that Hebrews 4:12 or something like that, I think? Let's just turn there. Praise the Lord. I think I'm pretty sure it's Hebrews 4:12.
Yes, it is.
Praise God. Hey, my quoter was working good tonight.
Amen.
It's right on. Amen? Thank God for the Holy Ghost. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul, which is your mind and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What is this scripture saying? The word of God will help you separate the difference between your spirit and your flesh. The Word of God. And that's what we're preaching about. This is what we didn't get to last week, but we're getting to this week, is that how do we live a spiritual life? We live a spiritual life starting first and foremost through the Word of God. The Word of God brings us into spiritualness, the reality of spiritual living, amen? And it's through the Word that the Spirit works. And He works simultaneously with it. It's really amazing how it all works. Praise the Lord. But we know that there it is up on the board. But it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It gets in there and cuts the finest line, amen? Yeah. Praise God. Well, let's go back to Romans 8, 13 and 14. Praise God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Spirit living is real living. Amen. If you want to live a godly life, if you want to live a life that's a God-filled life, then you can only do it led by the Spirit. Because the Spirit is going to lead us into all the things that God has for us. He's going to lead us into the truth. He's going to remind us of the truth. The Word is what bails us out of everything. The Word is our answer to everything. The Word is the doorway. It is the answer. It is the way, the truth, the life. Hallelujah. The Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. That's why we preach. The Word, amen? Yeah. But the Spirit leads you in accordance with the Word, amen? He leads you with the Word. He will speak the Word to you. When the devil's speaking something to you, if you get sensitive to the Holy Spirit within you. Now, some of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Some of you may not have been, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. But see, every believer gets the Spirit on the inside of them. Not every believer gets the baptism of the Spirit. It's a different thing, and we're not talking about that. But this is so you understand that every believer, if you've received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit upon you, praise God, if I could say it like that. It's a different thing. It's like the anointing, amen? Praise the Lord. But we need to be led by the Spirit of God. Because being led by the Spirit of God leads us into the things that God has for us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I want to bring up Romans 8, 13, though, in the Amplified. I have it here written down. It says, "For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die." What does this mean, actually? I mean, because I know exactly how you feel and what you're thinking. You're saying, Pastor Jeff, we have to live in the flesh. Yeah. Absolutely, you have to live in the flesh. But every decision you make, if it's of the flesh, is only going to lead you to death. Yeah. How do I know this? Again, I use the example of ho-hos and ding-dongs. If I live by the flesh, I will live on ho-hos and ding-dongs, mostly ho-hos. Praise God. But I wouldn't reject a ding dong. Amen. Hallelujah. I might not seek it out, but if there was one there, I would take it. But if I live that way, how many know it's going to cause me death? Yeah. Amen. Eventually, I'm not going to live the life that God intended for me, right? We can't live, we can't just do whatever the flesh wants and expect to get the result that we want. We can't just do however the flesh tells us to do. Amen. So it says, "For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh," I love how it puts that in there. The dictates of the flesh. The flesh is telling you, you got to have this. But you know what I mean? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Oh, you got to have that deep fried cheeseburger. Come on now. You know what I'm saying? You got to have that. You got to have four pizzas this week. Praise the Lord. We just built a pizza oven, so praise the Lord. We're looking for healthy pizza options, but I don't know. I don't know if there is any. But see, I also made it so it's wood-fired, so you got to build a fire and you got to wait. So the plus side of that is that means that I'm not going out there every meal and making a fire, and you know what I mean? Because we're the time in society, we're a little bit lazier. You know, if you can just turn something on, you'll turn it on. If you can nuke it, you know, I might just have a can of soup instead of a pizza. But praise the Lord. But I don't want to just do what the flesh is telling me. Amen. Praise the Lord. But if by the power of the Holy Spirit you are habitually putting to death, putting to death. Yeah. See, the Bible uses words like this, and a lot of people don't necessarily get this. They don't. They take it too extreme. What it's saying by putting something to death is it's meaning you're making it inactive. You know, when something is dead, it doesn't move. Amen? If I dropped dead right now, I wouldn't be moving. I wouldn't be prancing back and forth. I wouldn't be speaking anymore. I wouldn't be breathing and be dead. And that's the point that it's trying to use strong words to try to get the idea across to us. That we need to put some things to death. We need to say, no, I'm not going to allow that to be. It's dead to me. Amen?
Right.
Praise the Lord. Right. It says you habitually are putting to death. Last week I used the example. Man, I just couldn't get very far last week, and I'm not getting very far this week. Praise the Lord. Last week I used the example of Milky Ways. I love Milky Ways. Don't go buy me Milky Ways. But I love Milky Ways. And when I go to the gas station or the store, they always have this nice display of candy bars. And generally around there, they have a Milky Way on there. Amen? And I love every time I walk up, I get a little bit excited. Amen? I do get a little bit excited, and I'm glad my wife has me on a budget, because I would eat unlimited Milky Ways. That's really not the reason, but if I go up there, what do I have to do? I have to tell myself no. I was saying last week, I think I had one Milky Way bar this entire year. Praise the Lord. Why is that? Because I'm habitually putting that thing to death. I'm saying, even though I love you, even though I want you, even though I wanna snuggle you, I wanna put you right next to me, carry you around and take you and show you off to all my friends, praise the Lord, even though this is the life I wanna live, I can't do that. I can't live this way anymore, Milky Way. So I've gotta put you aside, amen? This is habitually putting things down. This is saying, even though I want it, I'm choosing not to have it, amen? You can't live that way, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And my wife said amen, because my wife likes that I preach the full gospel, but she doesn't like me preaching the full gospel. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So habitually putting to death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. See, of course, I use that as an example, but it doesn't necessarily just mean food. Maybe you got a spending habit. Maybe you got a relationship. It could be a gazillion things. It could be little things. They could be big things. It doesn't matter what it is. But we got to habitually look at our life and say, you know what? This isn't profiting to me. I know according to the word that it's not profiting, it doesn't profit me to live this way or to live in this. And so I need to put these things down. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's all that it's saying. So we have to, and we can't go into everybody else's life and start saying, hey, sister Bucketmouth, you gotta change that about yourself. Brother Better Than You, you gotta change this about you. No, we gotta look at our own life and decide what the Spirit is, as many as are led by the Spirit. Amen. God will show you the things. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord still hasn't shown my wife that she needs to eat meat yet. Praise the Lord. The Lord still hasn't shown her that we need a dog yet. But praise the Lord, it's coming. Hallelujah. Maybe not, but we'll see. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So this is this. That's not happening, she said. So this has all just been review. We're talking about living the Spirit by the Spirit versus the Word. See, we should get to the place where living by the Spirit is as natural as living in the natural. It's as natural as the flesh, praise the Lord. That it's not hard to recognize the difference between the Word or the Spirit and the natural person. Amen. But unfortunately, so many people, so many Christians, especially Christians, they're so used to living just by the flesh that they don't even have any idea what it'd be like to live in the Spirit. This is why people argue stupid things. This is why Christians argue stupid things all the time. I said this and that, you know, you got to do this diet, you got to do that diet, you can do this or you can do that. The Bible's clear on all this stuff. You ain't got to have a whole lot of common sense just to be able to read the Word and see what God wants for you and what He doesn't want for you. Praise the Lord. I've said this before, and I'll say it again, you know, Jesus, you know, people love to use the example of Jesus turning water into wine as an excuse to go out and live in debauchery. Praise the Lord. But listen, Jesus turning water into wine is not the same as lining up shots at the bar saying, you know, praise the Lord. That's not what God intended. Now, you know, they got churches that have church and bars now, and I just don't understand. The two things don't go together, but see, it's Christians that live according to flesh and not the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In fact, God's just good. Amen. Praise the Lord. And for everything that we give into, everything that we don't use the Spirit to help us with. Listen, you ain't going to be perfect at things. And God doesn't expect you. I don't expect you to be perfect at things. But what you know, see, this is the thing, is God is dealing with each and every person right now. He's dealing with you on something. Maybe you say, well, there's nothing. Well, there's something he's been dealing with you on. And so you just work towards that. And you go to the Lord. You put it before God. And you say, Lord, you know, I need help getting beyond this thing, or whatever it is. And so the Lord will help you. And it may not happen overnight. And you got to take steps. And it's hard sometimes, but you still got to take steps. Listen, living right isn't always easy. But it doesn't matter. That's why it's so dangerous that this society is teaching our children to do whatever feels good to them. Because what that does is that opens them to never putting the flesh down and never hearing from the Spirit of God. That's exactly what it's doing. See, people think that it's this and that, but the truth is that's what it ultimately is. When you teach kids to do whatever you want or do you or do what makes you, I've heard Christians say this. I'm telling you right now, when I hear a Christian say, do you, I want to smack them upside the head and say, get in the Word, get in church and start listening to something other than the devil for once. Because that's exactly what, if you talk about doing you, it isn't about you. I don't care. It is not all about you. And if you teach your kids that it's all about you, well, praise the Lord, you're going to have kids. It's all about them. You can't tell, it's not all about you. Listen, sometimes you got to put things down, and it's good to teach them at young, amen? Right. Praise the Lord, glory to God. Yeah. Turn with me to John 6:63. Hallelujah. John 6:63. Look what Jesus said here. He says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Yeah, I think people have twisted this, and I was a little bit confused when I first looking at this. You know what? I go to the Word, and if there's something that confuses me a little bit, I always go to the Lord, or I try to always go to the Lord and say, you know what? I was like, Lord or Holy Spirit, you're my helper. Show me how to understand this better. See, people talk about being confused and translation, all this stuff. You don't even got to be confused. All you got to do is go to the Lord, and He'll reveal it to you. But you know, it says the flesh profits nothing. It doesn't mean that the flesh profits nothing from the Spirit, because if that's what it meant, then this statement that it just said before that made no sense. It is the Spirit who gives life. That word life there is the same word life that we often see throughout the New Testament, that is the absolute fullness of life and worthy of the name life. Praise the Lord. The life that God intended for us is what it means. It is the Spirit who gives. That means everything that affects you, that's life. Yeah. Hallelujah. It is the Spirit who gives life. Yes, He gave us life, but it's not just talking about your living, breathing life. It's talking about the life that you the life that you want in God. It's the Spirit who gives that life. The flesh gets you nothing. You found that out, right? You lived your own way. You lived in the flesh. You did what the flesh wanted you to do, and you got nothing. You went from worse to worse. The flesh profits nothing. Living by the flesh, it profits you nothing. You might feel good for a minute, but I'm telling you, it's coming crashing down quickly. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm learning this as I get a little bit older. I turned 41 this year. Praise the Lord for 41. But and my mom and I were talking about this prior to, we were sitting in the house just prior to coming here, and my oldest son, Mark, was out chopping wood, you know, and we were watching him through the window. Praise the Lord. I'm pointing to him, you know, and he, yeah, that piece, and the, you know, put that over here. We're helping him real good, But you know, we were talking about how, you know, you don't have the same strength that you did when you were 20. You know, I'm learning that as I turn 40. I can't do the things I used to do. Man, I'll tell you, we were at the Lashbrook's house for a picnic this year, right, in the summertime, and I was on the trampoline, and I was a gymnast. I used to do flips and everything, and I was going to do a flip, and the whole time, and then everybody was watching me, so I'm standing there bouncing, and I'm thinking, I know what's going to happen. If I really flip right now, if I throw myself into a flip right now, I'm throwing something out of whack. That's what's going to happen. And so what I did, I kind of rolled over and kind of plopped. That's why I did that, because I knew that if I gave it everything I got, something was going to get pulled out of line, and I wouldn't be preaching the next day, coming up. And I didn't want that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because things just, you know, you got to take care of yourself a little bit differently. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Look what Jesus said here. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Why does the Word of God change people? Because the Word of God are not just words written on a page. The Word of God is spirit. When you speak the word of God, you're speaking spiritual things into existence or into motion. You're making spiritual laws happen. It's like you crank up. You remember those old cars? And some of you may not, but they used to have that crank in the front of it, and they'd get out and they'd crank that thing. And once they got that thing going real good, all of a sudden the engine would kick on. It would drive down the road. I think that's basically how it worked. That's exactly what it is. When you speak the Spirit, when you speak the words of Christ, what you're doing is you're cranking that engine, that motor, that spiritual life. You're cranking that, getting that on the go, amen? And once you let that go, it's going to take off and run, amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. That's exactly what it is. The words that God speaks. That's why when I'm dealing with something and the Spirit speaks to me, He doesn't say, oh, they're there. That's why when you're dealing with something, I don't say, oh, they're there. Right. Why? Because it doesn't do you any good. Yeah. People get mad at me. People have gotten mad at me because I don't go there, there. Right. I point them to the Word. Yeah. Why do I point them to the Word? Because the Word is the only thing that's going to change it. Yeah. See, I can say they're there and you feel better and I feel better because I made you feel better. But the truth is we both walk away, you still got nothing and I lose a congregation member. Yeah. Wow. Why? Because you haven't had anything built in you. If we don't build on a firm foundation, if we don't build on the Word, then we aren't building spiritual people, and we have a church full of natural, flesh-run people. Yeah. That's what we don't want. Right. I want a Spirit-filled church. I want people who are spiritual people. I want people, when they hear the Word, they say, yes, amen, because that's what the Bible says. You do. You say, yes, amen, praise the Lord. Yeah. That is exactly what I needed to hear. And then you have your answer. Praise the Lord. What is the answer when you are sick? The answer is 1 Peter 2:24. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Quote that scripture for me. 1 Peter 2:24. By His stripes, I was healed. I was healed. You were healed. Praise the Lord is actually what it says. That's exactly, you see, there's scriptures. You start quoting the scripture, and that's what gets those spiritual things in motion. See, we have to realize that we do not just live in a natural world. We live in a natural world that is surrounded by a spiritual world that is influenced, that is run, that operates by spiritual principles. Right. Whether we realize it or not, we are activating spiritual principles. Yeah. Praise the Lord. When you lived in the world, when you were living in sin, you were activating spiritual principles that caused death in your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. And glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen? Yeah. Turn with me to Proverbs 4:20. Word is so good. It's so rich. This is why we preach. You know, I can't tell you how many times, how often I'm literally just in the Word and I just stop and I go, praise God, this is so awesome. It's so awesome. Proverbs 4:20. Proverbs will tell you a lot. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4:20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears or your ear to my sayings. Give attention to my words. It means it's putting extreme importance on here. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Listen, if you need something, the first thing you need to do is to crack this book open that's collecting dust on your shelf during the week. And you need to open it up and you need to say, hey, all right, I need to get into this. Yeah. You know, I was talking to a dear sister in our church. We're answering some questions via text message for her. And I encouraged her with this. I said, because, you know, people want to know more. And sometimes, especially when you come in first and you don't know much about the Word, sometimes it can be difficult. But see, this is the thing. God doesn't just give us a Sunday morning or a Saturday night just so we can just go hear something and then, you know, make us feel better for 15 minutes and then walk away. God's speaking to us according. That's why the message can change even during, depending on who's here. Because God's going to deal with the hearts of the people that are here. He's going to deal with you and the problems that you're dealing with or the situations you're facing. And that being said, that's why we encourage people. You write down the scriptures that we give you. Think about what's being said. Hey, I listened to my own message from last week today. Yeah. Why? Because I needed to get stirred up in the direction back up in the direction of where I was going. Amen? So that's exactly what we need to do, right? You don't have to go read chapters of the Bible to get it figured out. Just start there. Start with the scriptures you get on a Sunday or a Saturday or a Friday night or whenever you go to church, amen? Start with those scriptures there, and God will speak to you through those. He's going to help you throughout the week. He will remind you of the things, and that's how you get it built in you, amen? Okay, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So that means you need to, this is the thing people need to understand. We need to constantly bring the word forward. We got to constantly be drawing on that well. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. We have a well. We live in the country. We have a well. And we have a pump in that well. You know that well, when we turn on the water, when we want water, it didn't just pump water once into the house and that was it. Right. What does that pump do? It uses electricity, and it constantly pumps water into the house. Every time somebody's taking a shower, what's that well, that pump doing? It's pumping water. It's drawing out of the deep well, and we need to do the same thing in our lives. We need to reach, get into the Spirit with the Word, and we need to draw out of the things of the Spirit in the Word and bring them back into our house because, listen, one watering ain't enough. Praise the Lord. If you got a Christmas tree, anybody got a real Christmas tree? Water it once. Keep it up for a month, water it once at the beginning and see what it looks like at the end. I'm going to guarantee you something. You're going to be taking out sticks and you're going to be vacuuming up needles. That's the way it is. I've always been a bad tree waterer, but I always insist on having real trees. Amen? And I remember one year when I was living on my own, I never watered that sucker. I'm going to tell you how I got it out. I had a brilliant idea because before my wife moved into the house, I also kept all my tools in the house in every room. You know, I had tools here and there just in case I needed them. Amen. And so I took out the shop vac and I vacuumed the tree, right? And then I pulled the sticks out. You know what I'm saying? I pulled the tree out without any needles. I didn't drag them all through the house. They were in the shop vac. That's just how you do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But you understand, we got to be watered by the Word. We got to continually be drawing that out. And this is what, keeping it in the midst of our heart. We need to keep our heart moist with the Word, saturated with the Word. We need to constantly be pumping that Word into us. Because as we do that, then life is constantly being pumped into us in the direction of God and the Spirit. And He can speak to us. And then, we start hearing it. And you will hear it. There will be things. All of a sudden, the Spirit's saying to you, and you'll be like, yes, I know that's true. Yeah. That's good. And you didn't know that before. You're like, wait a minute. I'm not that smart. Where did that thought come? Well, it came up out of your spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 22. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. This is highlighted blue in my Bible because it's good healing scripture. Need healing scripture? Proverbs 4:22. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. How do the words do that? Because the words that Jesus spoke. The word of God is spirit and they are life. Yeah. That's how. Amen? Yeah. 23, keep your heart with all diligence. It means, listen, and we just saw there, he said, keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. What does that mean? You keep the right thing surrounding your heart. Yeah. You know, praise God. Hallelujah. If I went out, if I said, okay, with that same Christmas tree, now we're going to create a real mess here, but if I took that same Christmas tree and say, well, I don't want water every day, but I am going to fill it with gasoline every day. Yeah. Ooh, that's not going to be so good, right? Especially in a dry Christmas tree, yeah. You don't want to be filling it around, saturating it with gasoline. But see, we need to be saturated with the right things, amen? Yeah. Amen? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Oh my gosh, I can just stop here and just meditate in this. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep it in the Word. Keep it saturated with the Word all the time. Keep them in the midst of your eyes. Keep pumping it in because you know your eyes are the gateway to your heart. Hallelujah. So you keep pumping that in instead of bad movies or bad TV shows or bad whatever. You know what I'm saying? You put the Word in, the Word in, the Word in. Because out of it, out of your heart, your heart kept with diligence, spring the issues of life. It means that when you are dealing with something in your life, you need your heart filled with the right things. You need that spirit inside you. You need those words of God just so full on the inside of you that as soon as something happens, boom, there it is. You speak right. Yeah. You speak right. You say the right thing. It comes out. It just comes out. See, that's what God's trying to tell us here. Amen? Amen. Look at this. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. And put perverse lips far from you. It means what's coming out of your mouth needs. You know what's deceitful? Do you know what's perverse? Oh, I'm so sick. I don't know if I ever get beyond. I don't know if I ever be healed. I don't know if God will come through for me this time. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Should never come out of a Christian's mouth. I can't. Should never come out of a Christian's mouth. Those words are perverse. Those words are deceitful. How are they deceitful? Because you hear yourself speaking those things. You hear other people speaking those things, and you start believing those things above the Word of God. And you say, well, the Word of God doesn't work. The Word of God isn't going to get me there. It's not doing it. It didn't change. Praise the Lord. You see, that's the thing. People start, that's how people can go from being great religions, great denominations, to being ones that are full of garbage. Why? Because they didn't keep it in the midst of the heart. They didn't keep the Word there. And so they're not living a Spirit-filled life. See, we need to live a Spirit-filled life, and the only way you can do that is by saturating your life with the Word of God, which is inspired by the Holy Spirit, which is also Jesus. Not the Holy Spirit, but the Word of God is also Jesus. But the Word of God spoken from men was inspired by the Holy Spirit, who is the same Holy Spirit, coincidentally, that is on the inside of you. Hallelujah. The same one that's speaking to you. The same one that's going to remind you of these things. This makes sense. Praise the Lord. Yet let your eyes look straight ahead. I love this because there's so many parallels in Scripture. See, people say Scripture is, look at, let your eyes look straight ahead. What if Peter just thought about this Scripture when he was walking on water? He would have kept going right to Jesus. He wouldn't have sank. Let your eyes look straight ahead and let your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Think about what you're doing, people. Think about where you're going. Praise the Lord. When the devil tries to keep you out of church, what do you say? You ponder the path of your feet. You think, wait a minute. No, I know that that's where I get my feeding. So I'm going to go right in. Praise the Lord. When the devil tries to keep you from doing that right thing, from giving that offering or being that blessing to somebody, praise the Lord. You just ponder the path of your feet. Think about where you're going. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Peter didn't ponder the path of his feet. He pondered the storm around him. He pondered the waves. He walked on water. He didn't think about what he just did. Like if he had thought, wait a minute, I already stepped on water. If he pondered that, if he thought about that for even a split second, thought, wait a minute, I'm walking on water. I ain't supposed to walk on water. But I'm walking on water. I'm doing it. Hallelujah. Pondering the path of your feet means that, well, listen, it's worked so far. It's going to keep working because God ain't going to stop working all of a sudden. And Jesus standing over there, he said, come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ponder the path of your feet. And I wonder if that's the Holy Spirit turning my pages saying, come on, Jeff, we got to get going here. Praise the Lord. That's a joke, pray, by the Lord. And let all your ways and ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. I'm reading this. This is so, so, so rich. Oh, man, these scriptures are so rich. Ponder what you do. Ponder your the path of your feet, where you've been going. Am I going in the direction as many as are led by the Spirit of God? Am I being led by the Spirit of God, or am I just living life willy-nilly? Am I just doing whatever feels good? Am I just doing whatever I want to do, or am I actually following the Lord? Am I actually listening to God? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to use an example. Can I use an example?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. How do I say this? There's people that get ideas in their head all the time. They seem like great ideas. They seem like wonderful ideas. But the question is, did they seek the Lord for that idea? Yeah. I'll give you one example that I've heard time and time and time and time and time again. I've heard this thousands of times. Not thousands, but I've heard it lots and lots and lots. I'm going to pay off church, the church. Did you even ask God if that's your plan, if that's his plan for your life? Did you even seek the Lord and say, Lord, is this what do you want me to do? God said, I want you to be faithful with the little. Oh, how can you say that as a pastor? Yeah, don't you want your church paid off? Sure, I want my church paid off. And I'm going to tell you something. If somebody comes up to me with a check for $300,000, I'm not going to tell them no. But I'm going to tell you something. When if we want to be most effective in the kingdom of God, we seek the Lord for what he would have us do. How do I know this? Because God wants everybody. Like, and I've said this before, and I'll tell you right now. The Lord knows, and I know this, that I would, if I got $1 million right now dropped in my lap, I know that God knows that there's no doubt in His mind, there's no doubt in my mind exactly what I'd do with it. The first thing I'd be doing would be writing a check to the church. Praise the Lord. First, I'd be tithing off of it, but the next thing I'd be doing is paying off the church building. Right? But see, here's the thing. What about the rest of the people? My wife read to you the scripture about in Malachi there, 3:10. We read it together. God wants us all using our faith. So if all of a sudden I pay off the church and there's nothing for you to use your faith on, you're just like, oh, okay, well, the church is paid off. Guess I don't need to give. Now you're not activating those principles in your life and you can't be blessed. See, you could have somebody come in. This is why God, is God not able to pay off these churches? Of course He is. But how is He going to do it? He's going to do it through the faithfulness of you and I. He's going to do it through people who decide to step up and do it. You see, there's a difference there that even though it could be taken care of, this is why so many people don't ever walk in the fullness of God. Because all they're focusing on is what they think they should do instead of praying. Praise the Lord. Pray, instead of praying to God and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do with it? What's your purpose for this? Amen? Does it make sense? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. See, God is doing things in us. I want to pay off church buildings. I want to be a blessing to the body of Christ. But first and foremost, I want to be a blessing to God. Are you faithful with the little? See, God doesn't care. See, this is the thing, and this is what people got to start. I don't know how to get on this, but this is good. God doesn't care if we have mortgages. It doesn't matter to Him. Why? Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't move Him. God doesn't matter to God if there's things to be bought that we don't have current money for. Right. It doesn't move Him. Yeah. Why does it move you?
Right. Oh, that's good.
Take it to your own household. Yeah. God said, I'll supply all your needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus, right? Yeah. If you're faithful with your money, He'll do that. If you're not, He won't. But if you're faithful, He will. So what do you care if you got a loan or what it looks like? What do you care if you, well, we need this, this, and this, and we don't have the money. Who cares? When you need it, it'll be there.
Yeah.
That's what faith says. Faith doesn't say, hey, I got to see it now.
Right.
See, everybody thinks, well, if I get to that place, I don't care one way or the other. I'm more than a millionaire right now. Praise the Lord. I got access to everything God has. You don't understand. I am not focused on the money. I'm saying I have access to what am I saying? Everything I'm ever going to need, God's provided it already. It's there already. So I don't care if it costs $1 million, if it costs $20. It doesn't matter. I love going to California because every time I go to California, my understanding of God is biggered. You go to California and they have building, they have land out there. There'll be $1 million an acre. Listen, $1 million here, you buy Chautauqua County practically. Hallelujah. But see, you go out there and they don't even flinch about it. They don't even think about it. They still drive nice cars and have big homes. Why? Because they just know that God is good. See, the same God that's God in California, He's the same God in Cory, Pennsylvania. He's the same God in Mayville, New York. He's the same God everywhere. That's why Jesus said He preached the gospel to the poor, because the truth of the gospel will always bring you that place of being supplied. See, we got to have money on hand. I don't have to have money on hand. I got access to everything I need.
Right.
Praise the Lord. So just release your faith for it and just wait for it. But see, there's the other thing. Some people got to have it right now. Well, God didn't say you're going to have everything right now. Glory to God. But what did He say? He said you'll have everything you need.
Yeah.
With enough left over to give into every good work. Praise the Lord. When was the last time you used your faith instead of using your faith for something for yourself? Said, Lord, give me the ability to sow 10 extra dollars a week into something, into somebody's life, into something, whatever it is. There's a need here. There's a need there. Praise the Lord. Lord, give me the ability to bless this group or to bless that group. When was the last time you did that? No, people are like, well, I need money for this. I need money for this. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. They'll be added. You ain't even got to ask for them. Well, glory to God. We didn't mean to go there. But this is just living spiritual. See, living spiritual says, I don't have anything that I have to worry about. Living spiritual is where rest is found. You know what's so funny about, I mean, this is some of the stuff I've been studying out for even tomorrow's sermon. But maybe I won't go there, maybe I won't. But living spiritual is if you have a need is not seeking the answer to the need. It's having peace knowing that it's already met. Let me say that again. Living spiritual is not seeking the need, the answer to the need. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not seeking the answer to the need. It's being at peace, knowing that it's already met. What are you desiring in life? It's already met. Why? Did God stop loving you? Did he start being a bad daddy?
No,
God still loves you. He still provides. But what does he require of you? He requires your faith. And your faith is the thing that says it doesn't matter if I see it or not. It's mine already.
Yeah.
Listen, if you are, if he is your inheritance, which he is, and all the gold is his, all the silver is his, the cattle on 1,000 hills is his, everything, the earth is his and the fullness thereof.
Yeah.
Praise God. Well, don't we have these scriptures? Yeah. Haven't we seen these things before? Haven't we heard these things come out of some preacher's mouth at some point?
Yeah.
What does that mean? If you're his child, if he's your inheritance, all that stuff, it's yours.
Amen.
Belongs to you. So what are you fretting about? What are you scared about? What are you worried about? Like, my God is healer. That was one of his names, was healer. I am healer. I looked up, he's got 16 different things he calls himself in the Old Testament. One of them is healer. One of them is provider. That's who he is. He is God. That's who he is. Praise the Lord. That's, he is what he is. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. Are we somewhere close to the end probably, huh? Praise the Lord. Glory. I thought I'd get through the scriptures, but you know. How far are we into it? We're at that time. Praise the Lord. Well, we didn't finish again, and we ain't going a third week. Hallelujah. Well, we might. I don't know. But let me just close here with this. You see, God's dealing with things that we need. He's dealing with the understanding. He's dealing with our hearts to get us thinking right. Because as we think about God, as we keep our eyes on God, and we think about, Lord, you're the God that walks on water, and it makes me walk on water. So that means that you're the God who makes me not drown. What are you drowning in, child of God? What's overcoming you, child of God? Didn't you remember when he told Peter to walk on water and he did? Don't you remember this many times he walked on water and he did? He's given us illustrations. He gave us, what did Jesus do? He showed us how he provided for us. This is spirit living. Spirit living says, even though I don't see it in the natural, it exists because I am a child of God. Simply because I'm a child of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So how do we live according to the Spirit? By getting full of and living by the Word. That's the answer. Get full of the Word and you will live by the Spirit. Because if you're full of the Word and you do it spiritually, I'm not talking about just memorizing Scripture, but connecting with the Word, letting the Word work in you. Praise the Lord. It'll change your life. And it'll fill you with the Spirit. Amen. We're going to close with Matthew 4:4. Praise the Lord. Matthew 4:4, I'll have you turn there just because I want you to. Praise the Lord. Matthew 4:4. Love it. I love the word. But he answered and said, Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live. Man shall not live by bread alone. What is that? It's not just saying that, you know, that people just live on bread. It means that you will not live by what you think supplies you, what sustains you, what keeps you going. You're not going to live by oxygen alone. You're not going to live by finances alone. You're not going to live by food alone. You're not going to live by warm weather alone or cold weather alone. You're not going to live by whether the oil or gas prices are up or down. You're not going to live according to whether the economy is good or bad. You're not going to live according to whether there's a famine or the land is full. You're not going to live according to that stuff. You're going to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word. What does the word say? My God shall supply all my needs. But don't be a fool and not do the word and expect the word to work. You can't not live in love and then expect God's word to work for you. You can't be living in unforgiveness. Why do we tell people to forgive people? Not because they want to. Heck, I've forgiven a lot of people that I don't want to forgive. Why do I do that? Because I know that the word says if I don't forgive, he can't forgive me. And if he can't forgive me, I can't have what he has. And if I can't have what he has and I don't have what I need, and then all that unforgiveness, I'll sit there wallowing in self-pity and all the stuff that I perceived that somebody else did to me, and maybe they did to me, but it doesn't matter. It does not matter. Why? Because God said forgive. So I forgive, and then he supplies all my needs. I love, I give, he supplies all my needs. Praise the Lord. See how God works? Spiritual living, amen? Man shall not live by bread alone. He shall not live by the things alone that you think are needful for the flesh, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It starts right here. God will speak more things to you if you're hungry for it, if you desire it. He will speak to your spirit, but I'm going to tell you right now, it will always, always, always line up with the word. If it doesn't, it's not God. Doesn't matter how good it sounds. Doesn't matter how nice it sounds. If it doesn't line up with the word, it's not God. Amen? Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for making us spiritual people. God, we thank you for making us, turning us into the people that you need to be, that we need to be, that you need us to be. Father, I love this concept, and I love the idea, Lord, of this truth, that you use people on this earth. That, Lord, that you don't do anything on this earth without using people. And I thank you, God, that you use us. I thank you, Lord, that you let us participate. We're not sitting on the sidelines, Lord, watching the game. No, we're right in the middle of it. That's how good God is. Ain't anybody been that blessed by playing on the sidelines? Praise the Lord. Or sitting on the sidelines. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You think about, I want to just say this to you. You think about what you want to be. Do you want to be that player that sits on the bench? Or do you want to be the player in the game? Because it's the player in the game that gets paid. You know what I'm saying? It's the player in the game that makes out. It's the player in the game that gets the glory, not the guy sitting on the bench with the towel over his neck. Praise the Lord. God's saying the same thing to us this morning, or this evening. Hallelujah. Got part of the day, right? He's saying the same thing to us tonight. Saying the same thing. You want to play, get in the game. You want to play, get in the game and play it the best that you can. Play it with everything that's in you. And God will be there to help you. Praise the Lord. He'll take you through. He'll take you through because he loves you so much. He wants you blessed.